Well, as I continue from last week, I tried to preach two different sermons, and I went to them, and I was preparing them, and God brought me back to this sermon again. So I don't know why. That's between God and everyone else. Why God does what he wants and what God wants to guide. But we are looking at the same concept of who are you with the storm. Me and Regina was listening to a pastor this morning, and you know, he said, whoever you're walking with, that will be about how deep you will go. If you are walking someone who is not very spiritual, they will pull you down. If you're walking with someone who has and at the same ability and the same place you are, you will stay where you're at. And see, one of the worst problems, I think, for all of us is that we have a tendency to stay where we're at. Anybody remember the old hymnal, I Shall Not Be Moved? Okay, well, I'm afraid sometimes that is too true for us spiritually. We can get in a rut. And I know myself, I can get into spiritual ruts. Because you know what? How big is God? Have you experienced how big God is? Even if you look back at all your markers, do you think you got no 50% of God? Or is there still more of God you need to know? We can read the Bible. I know the scripture verses. I was one of them young kids that I would drug to church every time we had church. My mom and dad, it was it. They cleaned the church. We were there every Wednesday night. Four times on Sunday, if you count different services on Sunday. Every other Saturday night, we was at some church with the association. If they had a work day, guess who was there? My dad quit farming, and he was there. When I was sick, didn't want to go to church, my dad was one of the type, son, are you sick? Throw up and prove it. And then when you throwed up and proved it, he said, oh, now you feel better. Let's go to church. We didn't have these masks we have to worry about. I was one of them. I was drugged to church. I was set in. And even though my church did not teach me much about having a personal walk with God, they taught me knowledge. They taught me the scripture. And I do thank them for that, because with scripture, having a walk with God is so much easier, because God can bring things to your mind that you have put in your mind. I can't say I'm a great memorizer of scripture, but when you hear the story over and over and over, you get it down eventually, amen? And then God still brings out things in scripture that you've read, that God can bring things out that's really great to know. So my question for you, why do you come to church? Because why you come to church is what you're going to get out of it. Not only do who you walk with in the storm, one of the questions before you can answer that is why you come to church. As we see back in this time of Jesus walking on the water to the disciples, remember the feeding of the 5,000 was just before. You know, a lot of people came to hear Jesus so they could get healed or to see what he was going to do next. Entertainment or getting something personal. But not that many came to follow him. If you read in John chapter 6, he's pretty blunt that a lot of his followers, when they heard his hard words, turned around and walked away. So if you come to church to hear from Jesus, you just might do that. Because Jesus can use anything anybody speaks to you. I like to preach because it's obedience for me to be able to stop and hear what God wants to me to say and then obediently do it. But there's been times I haven't been very good at that. My wife could tell you. We went home one Sunday night and she was saying, boy, that was the worst sermon I think I ever heard you preach. And I had to agree with her. I said, you're right. I preached that sermon. You don't have to tell me. I'm already beating myself up. I mean, it was horrible. It was flat, boring. Just nothing was there. And I thought, you know, I'm glad it's a Sunday night, not a Sunday morning, because nobody would ever come back to this church because of that boring preacher. And we were sitting, and I went to the bedroom to have my little pity party. That's what I do. I don't know about you guys. Maybe you all don't do that. You're more spiritual than me. But I have pity parties at the time. And I'd have my pity party that how I failed God. And someone knocked on the door. And it was our youth leader and his wife. And she came in and said, David, I want to be saved. God taught me right then that I don't have to be perfect, that he's a big God. And he can speak to people in my worst moments. Even when I don't even know, not really good obedient to him, God, and she got saved. And I talked to God, and I said, God, I don't want to do this. I'm having a pity party. And he said, get up, grow up, and do what I called you to do. And she got saved that night. So as we come to this time, if you want to come to church to hear from God, you can. But you've got to be willing to walk with him, even in the midst of storms. Sometimes I believe some people don't really, they come to church for ritual. I've always been a Baptist. Well, there's nothing wrong with all being a Baptist, amen? But we're a disciple, we're a follower of Christ. Sometimes I think we need to get rid of titles and just understand that we're walking, supposed to be walking with God. Some people don't understand what John chapter 16, you don't have to turn to it, just listen to me, and you could write it down and go to it later. John chapter 16, Jesus said, this is all prelim for the sermon, I'm sorry. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you to all truth, not the preacher. Let me ask you and tell you something. You guys are going to be looking for a preacher down the road. If you expect the preacher to lead you to where God wants, it will not work. Because I've just told you, I've been interviewed by a lot of churches, been with a lot of churches. We need a pastor to lead us. No, you have a leader. That's Jesus Christ. You need a spiritual leader to encourage you to walk that way. Amen. Because if the pastor tells you he hears from God and it's not what you want, you will fight tooth and toenail to defeat it. Amen? And that's conflict. And who wins in conflict? Anybody? Who wins? Nobody. Satan does. So we need to be able to know that God wants to speak to all of us, not just someone you pay to get up here and preach. He wants to speak to all of us and guide all of us to where he is at. He says here in this verse, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you whatever to come. He will glorify me, but he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father have are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to who? The preacher? Better, or he shouldn't be a preacher, amen? The head deacon? He should be. But each one of us as Christians, God wants to disclose that. When we don't believe that, we will always rely on somebody else. I had one lady come to church and she said, you know, you're the most entertaining priest I've ever heard. Her concept was, I'm the only one who could share God's what? Word. And that I could hear. She was missing the point, but given enough time, she actually found it. But for God to hear and talk to us, I'm afraid most of the time it's going to require a storm. Now, a storm doesn't always have to be bad. A storm can be you're too full of yourself to hear from God. Or things are going so good and you get this hurrah around you that everything is perfect, We can build up that storm that we don't need to hear from God because we've got this God. Have you ever said that to God? I don't know if I've ever said that to God, but I've sure acted like it, amen? And I'm sure that's what he heard. Oh, David's got this under control. We need storms to point us. In James chapter 1, I've had people tell me, you go to too many different scripture verses. If scripture doesn't back up scripture, we're in trouble, amen? So in James chapter 1, James writes this, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials or testing, knowing that testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, not perfect, but know the perfect, amen, and be more complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who'll give it to you generously. Do you really believe that? He may not give it on your time, but he wants you to keep coming back to him. He will give it generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Does God want you to hear? Yes. Sometimes it takes storms to test who we are. Now, I want to ask, is God an all-knowing God? When he put the disciples in the boat in Matthew, did he know the storm was coming up in their life? See, I just happen to know that when God called me to preach, he told me the Bible is his inerrant word of God. I can't question that, amen? I don't care what professor says it, what Bible teacher says it, whoever says it, I can't believe him because God told me his Bible is his word. I don't have an option in that. He also shows me in Scripture that he is all-knowing. He is the all-powerful God. And he's not a weak-kneed God who doesn't know what's going on, who's up there trembling, hoping you make the right decision. He knows you don't know, amen? The testing is not for God. The testing is to wake us up for our need of God. Does that make sense? To help us grow in our relationship to God. Without growth, you're stagnant. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 14 now, verse 22. Now we get into the sermon. I'm sorry. I do have sometimes long intros. I wanted to bring this out because this is where God kind of talked me to and took me through to the idea of what a personal relationship many times comes with storms or with testing. Sometimes they're pretty rough. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, I ask you to use my words. God, I pray that each one here does not look at me, and Lord, they actually open up their hearts to hear from you, because you have a word for them, not me. God, it's your authority, and it's your word that you can change us, you can help us, you can hold us. Lord, you can help us walk on top of the storm with your hand guiding us. So, Lord, thank you. And I pray that you will move among us, and I know you will because you're God. And, Lord, this is where you're wanting these people and me to hear you today in your blessed name. Amen and amen. Verse 22. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. Verse 24, but the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Verse 28, Peter said to him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, O of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are truly God's son." I'm afraid many times in the storm, we need to understand Jesus knows where we're at. He is going to come to you. The problem with him coming to you is it may provoke fear. Why is that? Well, how many of you have fear of the unknown? Many times, did God ever heal anybody the same way? Is there a formula in there how to win someone to Christ? Is there a formula how to grow a church or how to minister to people? No. It's unknown because there is no always set way. Mankind organizes, which is okay. But if you worship your organization instead of the God who created it all, you're missing the boat, amen? And that's where religion gets in, and people are tired of religion. They want something real in this world. They want something they can grab a hold of, something that is alive. And not just, I come to church and go home, and that's it. They want something alive. They want something real they see in someone's life. But fear will come. Fear of the event itself. Sometimes we are afraid of what's coming next. They was afraid of the storm, folks. If you remember Jonah in the Bible, was Jonah afraid of the storm? Was Jonah afraid of following God? Because Jonah had his own preset ideas. He had it set in mind. He had good reasons. He's like me and many of you, maybe. He could explain away everything he's doing and why he's doing it and why he had to do it this way. Amen? Maybe you won't say amen, but I have to. It's a guilt of mine. Was Jonah afraid of the storm he was in? Was everybody else or in that boat afraid of the storm? If you remember Jonah, what did they have to do? They chucked everything off board. They chucked their prophets off board. They chucked everything they had. It was a bare boat trying to stay alive. And then Jonah said, wait a minute. Remember, he had been afraid of God. In the midst of the storm, he said, I'm not afraid anymore. Guys, you got to throw me over. Because I deserve it. Was Jonah afraid of the storm? Yes. Storms bring loss. Sometimes it reveals who we love more, God or others. That's a hard thing to say. But God gives us others to love, amen? But others cannot be our idol and replace God. Heard a missionary couple this morning said, in the place where Africa, where they're going, you don't understand that when this one man became a Christian and he went and told his family beat him. They took his wife and children away from him. They exiled him. Will you be willing to love God if that happened in your life? Because God says, you must love me first. He is a jealous God. He is a righteous God and a loving God. But he wants you to love him more. Sometimes storms reveal what's there that was covered up. Sometimes the storms reveal you lose worldly possessions. And is that going to devastate you, or losing God's going to be worse? Not saying it's not right to lose possessions, but when it devastates you more than missing God, could be an idol. And God has his way of bringing that out to us. The fear that we hear. Notice when Jesus came up to him, he says, I am. Remember in the Bible when he says that? I am. He said it to Moses when Moses was supposed to go out and lead the children of Israel. And he said, who am I? And who am I supposed to say you are? And Jesus said, God told him, I am. That settles it. I don't care what anybody tells you, I am is it. He's the one who created the world. He's the one who created you. He's the one who holds this world in his hand. It's not climate control or climate, whatever the newest term they throw out. It's not industry. God is in control of this world, amen. And nothing's going to happen in this world unless God ordains it, amen. God is in control. I am. The question is, do we serve an I am, or do we serve a little God that we're afraid who's going to be overwhelmed? I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't know, you know, they kind of give you an impression God's up there just worried about if you're going to make the right decision. Folks, God already knows. And it blows me away because he's already known how many times I've blown it. As a pastor, as a Christian, when I got saved at 8, but he still loves me. Blows me away. His grace is beyond measure because he is an I am. But the I am may scare us. If you remember, Adam and Eve were scared when the I am came to them. Why? Because they had what in their life? Sin. They violated God's direct order. And they covered themselves. They hid. I have met a lot of people who have hid from God. Sometimes they're sitting in pews Sunday morning. One guy I know, when I got called to preach, he said, David, I'm proud of you. He's in my home church. He rarely attended church. He was our town drunk, our community drunk. You know what he told me? He said, God called me to preach, David. And I was scared. I ran to the bottle. And he said, don't you ever make that mistake. Sin will be revealed when God speaks. And it will cause fear because sometimes you will be afraid. But the I am is going to be with you when you walk with him. Sometimes pride gets in the way. King Nebuchadnezzar, when God wrote on the wall, remember? He got afraid. Why? Because he had one in his life. Pride. Pride was not in the way. Can I just be honest? I don't know you all. But if it's your church and your church is going to do what we always have done, and it's because it's never going to be done in our church, and I've heard it in business meetings, you got an issue with pride, amen? And you don't have to like that, but that is truth. Because it's God's church, it's God's direction, and God wants you to be molded to him. But fear of letting go of control is a fear that many people have when the I am shows up. The storms and the testing also will reveal what you trust in, or what kind of God you trust in. Is God supposed to be your slot machine? I've used this illustration again. We was at, my uncle and aunt took us, and they went and they played the casino a little bit. We were sitting out on the outside. But I watched these people put coins in, and they sit there. And this is how, and God said, this is how people treat me. They come to church, they maybe pray, they maybe sing, they may even read the Bible every now and then. They put their coin in, they pull the arm. Come on, God, you got to give me what I want. God is not a God that satisfies your wants. He's a God who knows your needs before you even speak it, amen? And he wants you to want what he has for you and to lead you. Sometimes it's a lack of trust in him or lack of obedience that will make you afraid. But there is a healthy fear. I had a church member who had a hard time with this. Because they kept thinking the fear of the Lord, they kept using our terminology of fear. Our fear, when someone comes in with a gun, what would you all do? Hit the ground? Some of you may take off running. You would be what? Afraid. You'd be afraid for your life. That's not what God's afraid is. When we are afraid of God, the good fear means we respect that He is God and we are not.
Amen.
It means we put ourselves on the knees when we stand before God, spiritually and physically. It means we understand He is the I Am. He's the one who created. I did not. I am just a meek person who fails Him, but He loves me. That's the fear. The fear is you don't want to do anything to hurt your daddy, amen? I remember growing up not wanting to disappoint my dad because I loved him. That's the fear God says Christians should have. The fear that we will disappoint God with our actions or non-actions. That's the healthy fear. That's the healthy fear Isaiah had. That's the healthy fear Paul had when he fell on the knees on the road to Damascus. That healthy fear when you put yourself in the proper perspective. The storms will reveal to you who you worship, because worship is part of the test. Worship comes with testing and it comes with conviction. I'm afraid most churches, this altar. Do y'all remember when people used to come to the altar? Not just for sin issues, but just to cry out to God, correct? It's a culture that we've lost in America. I think we've become, seems like people have demonized. If you come forward, you got to sin. And everybody else is going to talk about me. And they're going to be whispering and gossiping about me. And I'll lose my prestige. But you know what the issue is? Is surrender. This is the place that you come and surrender to God. You put aside your pride. When God calls, you come to pray. For whatever, it may be sin, maybe getting right with Him. It may be God just wanting to talk to you personally, and you need to come forward. But we've lost that. I did a revival in my hometown at a nearby church that I grew up near, and we was in a church nearby. And as I was preaching, I was more of the hellfire and damnation type of preacher there instead of more of an when I try to bring scripture out. I'll think of it later. My brain just flashes there. Sorry. And Cindy was there. I knew she went to a different denomination in high school. And Cindy was there during the revival. And first night, she had tears in her eyes, and I didn't get a chance to talk to her. Second night, third night, she's just sitting there in the pew crying. Finally, I think maybe the third or fourth night, a lady from the church went back to her and started talking with her. And they interrupted a couple of people talking to me and said, David, can you come talk to Sydney? So I went back to talk to Sydney, and as I was talking with her, she needed to get saved. And you know what she told me? I had been coming to this church for 6 months. They had altar call every day, every Sunday. Knew the pastor. I didn't know I could go forward and accept Christ. Why? She never saw anybody else moved of God. Do you realize that some things are contagious? Movement is contagious, amen? I shall not be moved. It's also contagious. The test of storms here, folks, sometimes in us, when you come down and pray, that's worship. Do you understand? That's worship. That it's nothing, it's between you and God, amen? And there's others who'll come and pray with you if you need somebody else, or if you need a little advice, or you need to know Christ for the first time. I've seen 86-year-old people who'd been at church all their life saying, I need to accept Christ now. Because something woke up inside of them that they was not knowing Christ. They had a religion and a form of it, but they missed it. And the test of life Show that to them. Somewhere along the line, we have got to remember why we are who we are. And you know what? Are others watching us in the midst of the storm? Do you realize sometimes we go through storms not just for you, but for others? How many of you, when you go through a hard time, go to Jonah? How many of you go to Job? Why did Job go through it? Was it just for between him and God? It was also for others to experience through his life. We are the same as every day to see if we do know the I am. And how? If you remember, Jesus came to them and then he revealed himself to them. You heard God speak to you. If you're a Christian, you've heard God speak to you for the first time, and that wants to communicate to you. He wants to grow in you. He wants you to grow and thank him. Our first church, my associational missionary said nobody would ever call you because you don't have a seminary degree to church. Interesting church. First thing I preached, people wanting it. This church before we came, a guy named Dwayne received a message, your job. He had it all, had a brand new house paid for, had multiple vehicles, had two guys. He didn't have what? Any hope. Dwayne told me, because he was still in the church when we got there. Dwayne told me, he said, David, he said, that preacher was so boring. I just wish he would shut up and get off the stage. Because he said, I knew I needed God. And he said, no one else hardly walked in Paul's, but I knew because he kind of grew up in church. He needed God, and the only place he knew to do it was find it in church. And he couldn't wait till the boring message got over with. And he said, I came down, and I accepted Christ. He lived 4 years. Just couldn't wait. That's God, amen. We had a young man in the church, and I can tell you a lot, God did a lot, taught us a lot during that time. But during the song service, they just sung traditional hymns. During the song service, Rusty came down and got down here and prayed, started praying. I looked up, and I thought my song leader was going to die. Because it's never happened like that before. Now what do I do? And that was the look on his face of like a cow looking at a new gate. Now what do I do? I did the only thing I knew to do. Minister. My song leader didn't quite catch God's action of what was going on. Rusty came down. And we spent some time, you know, and I got done praying, looked up, and there was others down the altar. And I looked at him and just keep on singing. He didn't know what to do. I wonder at times, God not speaking to him, but God was at move. You know, I never got to preach that Sunday. But we had more people at the altar. We had confession. We had people apologizing to one another. We had people getting right with God. And that was the turning point of that church. Did everybody know? We still had our gripers, our doom day. But it turned the tide for that church because we started getting a group of people then who wanted to hear from God, and they were willing to share. It wasn't my job. It was all of our jobs. But it took a test, and Rusty did it. His presence can help you. You remember the footprints in the sand poem? I'm afraid too many of us rely on that. Oh, God, I'm going to do the best I can, and when I can't, I want you to carry me. And you know what? That's okay. When my little two-year-old granddaughter reaches up her hands, guess what Grandpa's going to do? My son's a little bit too big for that. He's 6'2 and weighs much. I can't pick him up. But I can pick up my little granddaughter. Understand? That's okay. She's two. But my son now shouldn't be picked up by his daddy that way. Because hopefully he's grown. God wants us to grow up. I remember when me and Regina felt the call to go full-time ministry. I said, God, I'm not smart here. Just open the door where you want us to go and close all the other ones. There was a church that could have been full-time right next door. Not too far from us, we could have drove ever and been pastored and took care of it. I could have still been there to help my mom and dad. I could have still continued my life. We'd have been fine and dandy, but God shut that door. He opened the door to the church we went to. And oh my gosh, everybody in the state warned us not to go. My wife had been involved in WNU, went on mission trips, and they told her, don't go to that church. But that's where God wanted us. When it was time to leave that church, I said, God, I'm not smart enough here. I said, you need to open the door and close the door you don't want us to go to. And, da, da, da. And he clearly said to me, he said, what have you taught for 4 years? And have you not learned anything? Have you not grown in your own relationship? Ouch. Did that hurt? But it was truth. He said, David, you've been talking about having a relationship with me so they can hear you. You should hear me. You don't have to rely on me shutting the door. Listen with your heart, and I will guide you. Spontaneous worship, according to Bob Caldwell, who used to be the evangelism director for the Missouri Baptist Convention. He says many times the most authentic worship is when it's spontaneous. When you hear a God and you just go. This is what happened to Peter. He saw Jesus. He was afraid like everybody else. Remember, they were afraid of the storm, right? And then they saw Jesus walking on the water. I want you to notice, think about this. Jesus was walking on the very storm that they was afraid of. Amen. What did that show? His authority. We serve a God who has the authority over the earth and our own lives. Peter was so overwhelmed, he didn't question. He says, can I come to you? Spontaneous what? It doesn't have to be when you have the piano playing at the end. Spontaneous worship is when you recognize God and you just want God more than anything else. He didn't use his brains, amen? He didn't use his common sense. He wouldn't have stepped out on the water. He would have first analyzed it. Just like many of us do. We analyze everything, and I'm one of the worst. I'm preaching to me, okay? I don't have a choir, but I'm preaching me. So the old saying, used to preach to the choir, it's more like me. Quit analyzing. Just respond to God. And you will feel his blessings. And Peter actually walked on the storm that was making him afraid. Amen? Jesus wants us. He will either remove the storm like he did the first time, or he'll give you the strength to walk on the storm. Let me ask you something. When is the world going to take notice of Jesus and his power and his great love? When everything's fine in your life? They tell me you go down in a coal mine. It's pitch black. Absence of light. If you're down in a pitch black coal mine and you see nothing and you hear nothing, but you see a light in the distance, what are you going to do to it, folks? It's okay to talk in church. Run to the light. That's what we are. We're the light. We're the light in the world. We have storms sometimes to test us, to help us grow, but they're also there for others to see God at work. Because the world needs to see people that God is at work in their life. And yes, did Peter
sink.
Peter found himself not where he wanted to be. Amen. He wanted to be with Jesus, correct? And he started walking on the water. But then what happened? Common sense kicked in. Maybe everybody in the boat saying, hey, you fool, get back in the boat. You're going to drown. You're not smart for doing this. But he was just trusting God. He found himself where he didn't want to be. But guess what? It's where God was. Amen. Where was Jesus at? Walking on the water. And Peter, and you know what? We could preach a sermon about Peter's failure. I don't know if Peter failed. All I know, at least Peter had the guts to try. Amen? Peter had the guts to hear God. Peter had the courage and the faith that said, God, if you told me to step on the water, I have no idea what's going on, but I'm going to be obedient. And maybe we just need some reckless obedience to God. But my problem is, and our problem is, we need to make sure we hear from God first. Amen? You can't just create it. You can't take one scripture verse and create God. I'm claiming this verse. I'm stepping out here on air. You're going to fall. But let me tell you something. If God told me to step on air and I heard him, and hearing comes from the what? Word of God. Remember Romans 10:17? When I hear God, not only through scripture, but through a personal relationship with him, you better be able to say, I trust you, and you step out and you'll be able to walk on water, or walk over your problems, or walk through your problems. And guess what? Is it okay when you step out, you get afraid again? Is it okay? Did God kick him out? No, what did Jesus do? Peter says, God, I messed up again. And you know, I know God, I don't know how God's grace does it, but I hope you have the same feeling I have. How many times have you cried out to God, I've messed up again, God. Please help me. And you know what? A loving father will just reach down and grab you, amen? Isn't that what he did with Peter? And Peter, because he had the courage to try, yes, he lost. He got confused. He messed up a little bit. But in the long run, who grabbed the hand of Jesus? The 11 in the boat or Peter? Who got the blessing of having the personal touch of God for that moment in that storm? Who had that touch? Who received the blessing of God and his outpouring of love? The rest of them was in the boat, still kind of afraid the storm was going to go out. Get them. But Peter had a hold of whose hand? I don't believe Peter failed, folks. I applaud Peter that he had the courage to hear from God and to go. Because remember, he said, God, if it's you, let me come. And Jesus says, come. He just heard the words. And he said, I don't understand what's going on. I may not be smart enough here. I may not have all the teaching. I may not have anything. But I'm willing to come because I trust you and I love you and I want to be where you're at. Who's walking with you in the storm you're in? Or preachers preach it more than once. You're either in a storm or what? Going into a storm. Or getting ready to go. Storms happen in life, amen? Went over the reason why storms. There's a whole different sermon. But the question is, have you met the I Am? In the midst of your storm, whose hand are you holding? Or who are you walking towards? Because, see, that's the question you got to answer. Who are you walking towards? Because, see, you could walk towards whatever you want to walk towards, but you know what? The storm may not subside. When he got a hold of Jesus' hand, hey, was the storm still going around him, folks? Was it? Yeah. He didn't know. He didn't care anymore. When we can focus on God and lose ourselves in God and just feel that embrace of God? And do I believe part of Christianity is feelings? Yes, it is. It's as much feelings as it is knowledge. It's that closeness. He wants to have a relationship with you. Not based on anybody, one person, but between you and Him. And the question is, who are you walking towards? Have you seen the I Am? And are you walking towards Him when He calls? You may be waiting in the boat. It's okay. Because guess what? We don't know how long they were in the boat waiting till Jesus came up. But Jesus loves you and He'll show up on His time, amen, to give you His power, to give you His grace. As we come down to the time to give the invitation, this is an invitation. You've said and listened to me, and I hope you've not just listened to me, but I'm hoping that you have allowed God to break open and come in and minister to you, to uplift you. Whether you're down or whether you're high, He still wants that relationship with you, amen? He wants to wrap His arms around you. I don't care. We saw our granddaughter. She stayed all night with us Friday night. I have to get this right. And they come and got her Saturday morning. My son came back over Saturday afternoon to help us. She got out of the car and she said, "Grammy, Pawpaw." She started running to us. And my son said, "Wow, it's not like you'd not seen him very long ago." Hey, that's how we're supposed to be with God, amen? We just want to be in His presence. So I ask you to stand as we get ready to sing. It's your time to move. Don't let singing stop you. Dear God, just ask you to move among us right now, Lord, in your blessed name, amen.